Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, galvanizing global action to improve the health of women, children, and adolescents, and a report on the first gala for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people held at UN headquarters. But first, new guidelines on the management of health complications from female genital mutilation, or FGM, have been released by the World Health Organization, WHO. FGM is the partial or total removal of external genitalia or other injury to female genital organs for non-medical reasons. Globally, there are 200 million women and girls living with FGM, according to the UN agency. Jocelyn Sambira reports.
Female genital mutilation, or FGM, has no health benefits, can cause grave harm, and violates the rights of girls and women, WHO warns. 30 countries in Africa practice FGM, including a few countries in Asia and the Middle East. But with increased global migration, more cases are happening in Europe, North America, and elsewhere. Dr. Lale Sai is the WHO coordinator in the Department for Adolescents and At-Risk Populations team.
Despite efforts to eradicate this practice, every year 3 million girls and women are at risk of being undergone to this procedure and risk of exposure to the health consequences of this harmful practice. Young girls before the age of 15 are especially vulnerable.
Procedures can cause severe bleeding, problems urinating, infections, and even death. FGM can also result in complications in childbirth and increased risk of newborn deaths. Other long-term health problems include sexual dysfunction, psychological risks like depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder. WHO is helping health workers provide better care to women and girls who have undergone cutting through training and allowing them access to the right information. Dr. Doris Hsu is a medical officer with WHO.
In the work of this guideline, we documented that there is a great gap of evidence. We found that there are tremendous needs for research, and we need to intensify efforts to train healthcare providers. The dissemination and implementation of these guidelines will be a critical step towards making sure that the quality of healthcare and the health outcomes of these girls and women are improved.
For Dr. Hsu, healthcare providers can become influential agents of change and prevent FGM from happening in their communities by rejecting requests for medicalization, recognize FGM and its complications, and appropriately treat the girls and women. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
Despite global progress in reducing maternal and child deaths, more than 300,000 women die each year giving birth, while 6 million children do not live to see their fifth birthday, the UN reports. The majority of these deaths are preventable. Improving the health and well-being of women and girls was the focus of the Women Deliver conference held this week in Copenhagen, Denmark. I spoke to Nana Kuo, senior manager at Every Woman, Every Child, an initiative established by the UN Secretary General in 2010 to address the major health challenges facing women, children, and adolescents. She explained why action is critical to achieving the new Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, aimed at creating a more just and equitable world.
We have made historic and unprecedented progress in reducing maternal and child deaths, which also demonstrates to us that this can be achievable and done. That is why the UN Secretary General back in September launched an updated global strategy for women's, children, and adolescent health. It provides a roadmap to really look at some of the key ingredients of action required to end all preventable deaths, but also to ensure that the health and well-being of women, children, and adolescents can be fully achieved and fulfilled by 2030. It also recognizes that we will not be able to achieve the SDGs without putting women, children, and adolescents at the heart of the SDGs.
And now you'll be participating in the Women Deliver conference. First of all, what message will be taken there? And also, what outcome are you expecting?
So Women Deliver is a fantastic opportunity to really now look at how we can better implement the new Sustainable Development Goal agenda. We will be presenting the global strategy and also all of the other parts of Every Woman, Every Child, which have been put in place by the UN Secretary General to support implementation. But the conference really provides an opportunity to interact and network with so many different actors, particularly on the ground from countries.
Have you visited any of the partners on the ground?
The Secretary General himself has actually gone to many countries and has seen some great progress. We saw a new partnership formed in Kenya, which looked at mobilizing private sector partners, both from Kenya as well as international private sector companies, to work in the 6 most high burden maternal and child counties. And there it's really groundbreaking because many of the current services are not reaching those hardest to reach parts of Kenya. We've seen also other new partnerships form in India, looking at how to galvanize the UN system together with private sector to look at providing zinc, which is a major tool for preventing diarrhea in children. We've also seen great efforts from governments as well. In Zambia, they've really increased their family planning budgets and also introduced new regulations, which has raised the age for child marriage to 18.
What's been described as the largest ever gathering at the UN of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex people shows the progress that has been made towards giving those people the rights they deserve. That's according to attendees at the event, which was organized by LGBTI rights group Outright International. It was held ahead of the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia on the 17th of May and was hosted by actor Alan Cumming. Janie Cangelosi has the story.
Look around. You're in the United Nations delegates dining room, people. It's full of queer people.
On a cool Monday night in May, the delegates dining room at UN headquarters was packed with a crowd made up of leading members of the activist community, buzzing with excitement. Charles Radcliffe, head of the UN Free and Equal campaign, had this to say about the gala, called the Celebration of Courage.
Well, tonight is historic on some levels, because I think it's the first time that we've had such a big gathering of lesbian, gay, bi and trans activists from around the world gathering here at the UN for a fabulous gala awards night, really celebrating the activism in the LGBT movement and all the progress that's been made around the world. For all the setbacks and the challenges, we're seeing huge progress. This is a movement that's really hit its stride.
Celebration of Courage is an annual event that brings together the LGBTI community and honors activists from all over the world. This year's MC was actor and activist Alan Cumming.
As we make great strides in this country and other countries, it would be easy to be complacent and forget about what's going on in other parts of the world. And Outright is a great way for everyone to be reminded. In any culture, on any sort of level, we can't have full equality until everyone has equality.
Honorees at the gala included the head of one of Indonesia's leading LGBT rights organizations, Indian Crown Prince Manvendra Singh Gohil, and activist Omar Sharif Jr. Outright Executive Director Jessica Stern explained the organization's most important goal for the event.
5 months ago, a supporter of Outright came to me and he sent me a New Year's email asking, "What is the one thing that LGBTI people around the world need most?" And of course, there's so much that we need for justice. But to take a major leap forward for every lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex, queer, and gender fluid person around the world, for every activist and for every ally, we need facts. We need data.
A live auction and silent auction were held to raise money for LGBTI research, along with the pledges that individuals made throughout the night. The last event of the program was a special performance of the song Ring of Keys from the Broadway musical Fun Home. By the time young actress Gabriella Pizzolo took the stage to sing, guests had pledged over $40,000, which will fund projects aimed at promoting acceptance and understanding of LGBTI people. Janie Cangelosi, United Nations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Deanne Penn.